On this show, you'll find inspiration, motivation, and advice from experts, as well as valuable tips on how to get started or improve your business. Let's dive into how you can begin and grow your wisdom business. Inspiring others looks different for everyone. How will you inspire? Welcome to the Wise Dome podcast. And today we're chatting with Rachel Collard. Rachel is a marketing expert who helps entrepreneurs and small business owners take control of their marketing, delivering online coaching and consulting services. Rachel is also in the final stages of publishing her marketing book that will help female entrepreneurs build their marketing launchpad. There will be an associated course and mentoring program that will be built right with it. And this is why I want to talk with you, because this is something that is so important to our audience when it comes to actually just sharing your knowledge online and the processes you do that. So yeah. Welcome, Rachel, to the Wise Dome podcast.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
Now, like I said, tell us how you got started and, you know, the evolution in actually getting to the point that you're at now.
Okay, so I've spent a lot of time in corporate, so marketing for large organizations, small organizations, everything in the middle. And I just found, I think, with everybody through COVID, you know, there was a lot of reassessment, a lot of sitting back and thinking about what was important, particularly given that we were locked down and working from home. So, and at that point, I realized that whilst I still had the passion for marketing, I really wanted to help business owners get their marketing under control. So a lot of that was driven by getting really tired of hearing about the gender pay gap and about inequality and all of that kind of stuff. So that's why the book in particular is focused on helping female entrepreneurs. But my business generally, the vast majority of solopreneurs and entrepreneurs are actually women in Australia these days. So it's a nice fit and it's a nice way of tackling that. And I figured I've scaled marketing up and down for all sorts of sizes of business, all sorts of budgets, all sort of teams. And there's still a lot of commonality, even if you're just a one-off solopreneur. You still need to get your ducks lined up in a row so that you can go to market confidently and proudly. So that's why I sort of thought, okay, well, I've always wanted to write a book, so I'm going to write the book. With the book, why wouldn't I do a course? And with all of that, I've been doing a lot of beta testing for a lot of the services or products that I was thinking about putting together for my business.
Yep.
And a lot of the process I've gone through setting up is the process that I'm doing for my clients as well. So as a marketer, my guilty secret is I know everyone needs a content plan, but I'm still working on mine. So it's all of those little things, but I just found a lot of the people I was talking to just, they didn't have the clarity and they needed that understanding of exactly who they were helping, how they were helping them, and then how to talk to them about that. And without that, it doesn't matter how much money you throw at marketing, it's not going to get the traction that it could. So I've built this framework so that you go through a process where you learn exactly what you need to do before you even take the leap of going out and doing advertising or socials or whatever. So so it was really about that. And I suppose I was just at a stage where I've worked in a lot of male-dominated industries for a really long time.
Yeah.
And like a lot of women in corporate, you get a little bit fed up of the microaggressions and the having to manage everybody all the time. And I just thought, you know what, why don't I go and work with some kick-ass women and help them do kick-ass things, and that would be marvelous. So here I am.
Awesome, awesome. Awesome reason to take it on. But, you know, I'd love to ask, because you mentioned a couple of times there when it comes to budget or marketing, you know, through your, obviously, you know, there's a whole planning process and going through that planning process. And, you know, when you started your business and going through this, obviously, like you said, you're still building up that and you're going through your beta phase at the moment of just, you know, really narrowing down what your offer is going to be. Once you've hit that point, where will you take it then in respect to aligning your budget with your plan? Like, how do you do that? So then our listeners can understand that better as well.
Yeah, look, a lot of it comes down to where's your business either coming from or going to come from. So if you need to go wider than your immediate network, then you obviously do need to look at things like advertising. Yeah. So social media organically has limitations, and they do it quite deliberately because they want you to pay for advertising. Google advertising is also really useful, but things like networking and that kind of thing also get underrated because I've got to say a lot of my beta clients, for instance, are coming through my networking activities. And a lot of my clients are coming through there as well. And you don't, sometimes you kind of separate those out of your marketing budget, whereas for me, I just put it all in. But it really depends on what you want to get out of it. So if you're a like a consultant or a coach and you can do it step by step, bring in one client, get a testimonial, get a referral, get a referral, bring in the next one. You don't need a massive budget. Depends on how quickly you want to scale. Yeah. If you're in a launch phase, a lot of budgets, you can sort of sit there and say, okay, I'm projecting to get this much revenue or I'm aiming to get this much revenue. If I'm launching, I need to sort of allow usually around 5 to 10% to actually bring in that income. But it always depends on what channels you're playing with. So if you're out there saying, I'm going to do a billboard, then I'm going to say, okay, good luck with that. they're lovely, but incredibly expensive. but if you're going to do things like just boost social posts, for instance, and they're on message and they're getting you good traction, it's just a good way of widening your reach. So you could play in the sort of 1% to 2% mark. But normally 1% to 2% of your revenue is a good baseline for maintenance mode, 5% to 10% if you're wanting to get growth. And so
consistency, because consistency is key. We always
Definitely.
and this is one thing, obviously, you come from that industry, like consulting, going through that whole, like you said, corporate hustle as well to a degree. It's how consistent do anyone out there that is looking to, launch a business, grow a business or, whatever it is, launch an offer even, to expand their business or whatever, doing what you've done, like you said, like you're creating assets in a sense, like you've got your book and then you're going to build it up with a course and so forth. The consistency of your if someone is to go to advertising or, social media or networking and things like that. Like some people just sort of, they get in this honeymoon period of, oh, yes, we're going to do this. Everything's all in there. And then things start going, oh, the book's out. I've got to do this. And then I've got to do this. And then something else loses. And a lot of the time what gets lost is that marketing in the sense of online. How important is consistency and the longevity of it to keep it going and then to finally see, obviously it depends on the platform and what you're doing, but when would you see sort of growth from it depending on how often you do it?
Yeah, look, something like your content schedule or your content plan, definitely consistency around that. But everything needs to be set up to a strategy. So you need to look at where you are now, you need to look at where you want to go, do a gap analysis, work out what you need to roll out. And what I usually find as well is if you've got a plan, like a content plan, it's a lot easier to write to it and roll it out than it is if you don't have one, because you're not struggling day after day after day to do something or pull it together. So I'd say develop the plan and then go out and do it consistently. Now, social media, you can be doing it every day. You can do doing it 5 times a day. I usually start people with twice a week and just get them into that rhythm. Yeah. And use scheduling tools that help you with efficiencies and help you pre-forward plan. With advertising, you can turn that on and off, but I think social media is your way of showing up in a forum that people can see you in more visibly. Things like your newsletter is a consistent thing that you definitely need to make sure it's a regular thing. So, for instance, I get some newsletters on Friday that I know I'm looking forward to because I want to get that information. I get other newsletters that I get every day and I think, oh, God, please make it go away. So, just work out what works for you and your ideal client. But you do need to definitely build it. And the thing with it is starting out, you're building up, as you said, your asset base, and then you can repurpose it. So even if you map out a content plan for 3 months, you can then recycle that content plan for the next 3 months. So, and why wouldn't you? Because on social media, if you posted at 10 in the morning and you posted at 6 in the evening, you're only going to have a 1% crossover of people who will see your post anyway, at most. So even though you see your content all day, every day, and you're probably getting bored with it after about 3 months, the reality is nobody else is having that experience with it. And if you tailor it around literally always focusing on your ideal client and what problem you're solving for them, and you talk to that every time you're out there, then that allows you to build that awareness. That allows them to engage with you. That allows them to have that relationship with you. If you do it sporadically, you're basically starting from scratch every time you do it.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Yeah, yeah.
So, and the tip really is, like you are talking about consistency, but I was talking to somebody today. I spend an hour on social media a day. First thing in the morning, I go through, I check out what comments I've appeared in, what I want to respond to, make sure my posts are all fine, and then I get the hell off and go and do my job. Yeah. even though my job for some people is social media. But if you don't control it, you can spiral into the abyss that is social media, and it will drive you nuts in the end.
Yes.
So, but yeah, I think consistency, and do a newsletter, because that way you get to own your mailing list. Social media followers, you don't own them. You don't know who they are, and they can be taken away from you without any comeback. So build that up, build up the consistency, and allow people to anticipate. So if you've got like a daily affirmation or something like that, then it should be done at the same time every day, so people know when it's going to be in their mailbox so that they can get used to it.
That's a good point.
You've got a monthly roundup, then that's great. Just make sure that it's sort of the first Monday of the month or the last Monday or the last Friday of the month or whatever you want it to be, but so that people can anticipate it, because you know the newsletters you love. You know the ones that you engage with. You know the ones you care about. You know the crap that you just avoid.
So. And that's the difference, isn't it? Because it's like consistency and there's routine. Yeah. And that's one thing, I guess. It's like you're educating your users, your followers of when you are going to be present and things like that. So that's so important. And one thing I'd love to ask you is, how did you work out your niche?
I fought myself on it for an excessive amount of time, as everybody does.
Yeah.
Honestly, my niche started out as small business owners, because I realized that there wasn't a lot of marketing services available for small business owners. Then I thought, okay, this is interesting, because I was attracting a lot of certain types of business owners.
Right.
And then for the book particularly, I niched down into female entrepreneurs. A lot of them are solo entrepreneurs. So I narrowed down that way, and then I was getting approached by a lot of coaches and consultants, because they were the ones that were struggling just to sort of clarify their messaging and what it was they were really doing, because very competitive landscape as well.
Yeah.
Strangely, now all of a sudden I'm getting a lot of product-based businesses as well again, but I definitely wanted to be in the small business space. So even though for like consulting, historically I've worked with larger organizations because they've got more budget and they just want to scale up and down occasionally for projects, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure for this business that it was delivering a service for an area that I operate in as well. So I'm a small business owner, and I can relate to the challenges that everyone's going through. Even though everyone comes to me for their marketing, I go to other people for help with mindset and accounting and all of those sorts of things. So, and I like this space because it moves quickly and it's exciting and people are passionate. So, it was trial and error. And I literally did go through and do some market research and say, okay, well, there's a lot of people operating in that space. A lot of people operating in that space. I have a gap here. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's my passion that overrode the logic. And I really enjoy working with other women because we can all relate to each other. And you know how you're having conversations and it's like, I totally get that. Like you're talking about microaggressions and why you left corporate. And it's like, I know, right? And I love that kind of engagement. That's kind of where I'm at. That said, I've got some consultancy clients who are men. So there you go.
You know what? But the thing is, it's a mindset thing too, isn't it? Because that's what I was going to ask you next. It was, you know, you worked out your niche and everything like that. And at what point, because obviously, you know, we're building up a business. So financials come into play. At what point do you sort of sit there and say, okay, and this is what I mean by mindset in the sense of the mindset of your niche market. And it's that you know, if they come from corporate, they understand figures as well to a degree, you know.
Yep.
They understand what's required to get results in a sense of that at that scale. So understanding if they're at a smaller scale, they'd probably put two and two together and work out their own little formula. So with your perspective of when you're going for your niche market, you're going to try and build up your business and at what traction you want to build up your business in the sense of, you know, how fast do you want to grow it or do you want to just slowly, you know, slowly build it up?
Yeah.
Price point. Was that a huge part in choosing the niche or did it go the other way?
It has to go the other way because at the end of the day, you're there to serve your niche. Yeah. So my theory is get to know your ideal client, get to know what their problems are, get to know how you can fix them and have in your head a very clear visual of your before and after for them, what success looks like for them using your products.
Yeah.
But always for me, it's value-based pricing. So if I was going to, say, a huge software company and I was helping them formulate a message for a particular offer and I knew that they were going to make, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars out of it, then guess what? I'm not charging them the same price that I am for a small business because the scale is completely different. Doesn't mean to say the processes are that much different, although there'd be more handholding, but it's a different thing. So pricing is a huge, huge part of it. So the bit I focus on is having a product pathway for people to follow. So getting over all of the objections, starting out with your free offer, having an entry-level offer, building it up until you've got your super premium if that's what you want to do. Mm. And I do that alignment. But comfort levels for individuals doing their own pricing is a huge minefield.
Isn't it?
There are people out there who are much better placed to get you through either your mindset blocks or help you with formulating where you should sort of sit. I look at it from a market positioning point of view. Like if you want to be premium, then obviously you can't be charging $10.
Yeah.
But for the clients I'm dealing with, it's confidence. It's always comes down to confidence.
Yeah.
And also how much you can automate it and how many processes you can put in place and that kind of stuff. So I just think you need a logic. You need logic there. You need to know your ideal client. You need to know exactly what offer you're making them or what the promise is that you're giving them. And then you can work out your pricing.
Yeah.
So
good point there on. Yeah. Value orientated pricing is just one of those, you know, it is so important. And the reason I wanted to bring it up is because it was a conversation, a few conversations I've had just recently. It's like, what pricing point? And it's so hard because, you know, we obviously have overheads that we have to cover. Like that's just the practical stuff. But then you've got the value orientated side of things. And some people just don't see the value in what they're offering as well as the value that they're providing for their client as the end goal. And just as you pointed out there, it depends on the campaign that you could be helping a corporate business or a small business, you know, in actually instigating. What major lessons did you learn though from the audience that you've built up for now and where did it take you?
I have just re-engineered my entire product offering.
Oh, isn't that fun?
Because I went out there with a vague idea. And actually, to be fair to myself, I was actually testing the waters and I needed to put something up on my website quickly because I made the jump out of corporate fairly rapidly. Then I went on three different trips. So I haven't really given myself much of a chance. So what I did was sort of looked at the numbers. So back to the number thing as well. There's only a certain amount of hours in the day that you can work or that you want to work, which means you also need to make sure that you've structured your business, that it's sustainable at the level you want to earn the income you want with the hours that you've got available. So I've got a matrix that I use with my clients. I literally just drop down, what's your goal? How many hours do you work? Okay, these are your packages. How much time does that require from you? And then we work out if the numbers work. And if they don't work, then they have to put the prices up or they can take them down. But the other thing I'll say about that as well is that people, if they're not confident in their pricing, they're always embarrassed to go to market. So, and if you don't have confidence, you're not going to be selling it well. And I don't like hard selling, but I'm saying you've got something of value. Don't be embarrassed by it. Just go out and own the space. Easier said than done. I totally get that. But I totally just went off the rails then. Okay, so in terms of learnings, so I just went through a beta process with about half a dozen people on one of my new products. And what I'm finding is getting those different viewpoints is actually really, really helpful. So a lot of my concern was, like, I've got I do a 12-week marketing roadmap for people. So I give them an audit, do a gap analysis, and then give them their priorities for the next 12 weeks.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are finding that a really valuable process, but how they read the information or what they find overwhelming is different for everybody depending on their level of experience with marketing. So I've sort of changed how I talk about some things, or maybe just how I present it. The content is still there and it's still worthy, you know, it's still what it needs to be, but it's just sort of how you tailor it and mapping out a 12-week plan so that it doesn't look overwhelming. Like, this week you focus on messaging, this week you focus on product alignment, this week you focus on your content plan, this week you focus on social media's pages. If you map it out that way, it starts to get a lot less daunting. And I think a lot of it does come down to just having a plan, working to the plan, not getting overwhelmed. Because the reality is, for marketing particularly, the first question I get, you know, or the first statement is, I hate marketing, it's too hard. I love marketing. It can be hard, but it doesn't have to be hard. So it's, you know, and it's a mindset thing. And the consistency, the regularity, if you can spend an hour a day just tapping into the bits according to your plan, you're going to get a lot further than if you sit there and procrastinate about it for 5 hours because you're stressed.
Yeah.
So 5 hours of productive output or 5 hours of just chaos, I know what I'd prefer. So. Yeah. And I usually find that it's even like writing content to a plan, because you know your core topic, you know what you're trying to achieve, you know what you need to inform the reader of.
Yep.
It's a lot easier to write than if you're sitting there going, today I would like to talk about the weather. Plan for me.
Oh, isn't it a world of that, though? Like, I come from, you know, my qualifications are in buying. So you know, it was always forecast.
Absolutely.
Constantly forecasting. And it's, you know, planning, consistently planning. And, you know, it's one thing I'd love to ask is, you know, going through that process of, you know, like you said, the 12-week plan and so forth, timing.
Yep.
What sort of elements do you sort of take into consideration when you're creating a, like, a challenge, say 5 days, or a course, or, you know, coaching program for 12 weeks? How did you come up with that sort of time frame?
A lot of it, so for me, the 12-week plan is literally because you need to be looking long enough into the future that you're not doing it just in isolation. So I also look at, you know, your annual goals. But I chunk it down into the 12 weeks just because that's a good time for sprints, and you can usually slot it in around major holidays and all of that kind of thing. With the course, though, I was originally going to do 12-week courses, but with, you know, two intakes a year. And I was talking to a lot of people about that and doing, like, lessons live and all of that kind of thing. But everybody works at a different pace, and what I'm finding is, I'm now going to do it that it's like a membership for a particular amount of time. You get access to all the lessons. You go through them at the pace you want to go through.
Right.
And then we have regular Q&A sessions or sounding board sessions.
Like coaching,
So, and you still get the one-on-one session coaching, but you also get masterclasses on slightly different, like, more advanced topics, that kind of thing. And the reason I did that was, I can't dictate my schedule to other people. So just because I think this is a good 12 weeks doesn't mean to say you will think it's a good 12 weeks.
Yeah.
So my theory will, and also some people want to do it in 12 days.
Yes.
Some people want to do it in 12 months. I don't think you're going to get far if you're going to do just one thing a month, but you know what? It's better than doing nothing.
Yeah,
so I'll take it. But yeah, so I've sort of gone with that more, you work at your pace, but I'll provide you with this consistency and be there as a sounding board and that kind of thing. Because a lot of the time, particularly with messaging and particularly with content, all you really want is a sanity check. Like, a lot of the questions anyone could ask you, you could go through a checklist, you could come up with it yourself. But even going through it yourself, even when I'm working one-on-one with clients, I give them a workbook to run through and dump all of the thoughts in their brain in.
Yeah.
And then we just finesse it. But it's all coming from you anyway. But you'll have more confidence because somebody else says, that sounds amazing, or that's not quite right, let's work on that, or, you know, this is, have you thought about this sort of angle? Because fresh eyes and an objective viewpoint is valuable in anything. Like my own messaging, I couldn't write it. I tried. I do it for other people. It's insane. But I could not look at myself objectively enough to actually come up with my own messaging. So I needed a sounding board.
You know what's so interesting with you saying that? Because one thing, I was having a conversation about this with my husband actually not long ago, and we were saying how, you know, the message is so important, you know, when you're trying to get something out there. And it is. It's always harder to write the message yourself.
Yeah.
And going through, you know, just chats and all the rest of it, we realized, you know, a lot of the messages or the message that we might want to present can come out of testimonials.
Yes.
And also the beta testing process. Like we've been going through a beta testing process with our platform that we're releasing. Yep. And, you know, talking to them, talking to our beta testers who became, you know, so like family almost to us, because they sort of help you so much.
They do.
And the message that, like, you hear a consistency coming through. And I think that's one thing that is so important. And you've touched on that, especially at the very beginning. Like, you did a lot of research and asked questions out there. And it's so important, isn't it, to sort of keep in touch with your potential market, your potential users, and engage. It's like, just ask them the questions. And one thing I have to say is, you know, obviously with all this whole, you know, transition in privacy and, you know, the information we gather from, you know, our users and so forth. Mm. And instead of stalking people, just ask them.
You know? Yeah, absolutely.
Just ask them the question and you can get your answers. And you, a lot of the time, you get your message from that, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And also if you've got an existing product and you've got like a help desk or chats or anything like that, go through and have a look at the questions and how they're being asked.
Yeah.
But one thing I will say as well, like coming from corporate, I hate asking for help because in corporate you can get punished for, you know, an appearance of weakness, which is stupid, but that's a whole different thing. but one thing I do when I'm working through with clients is when we are talking about crystallizing what their ideal client looks like and what they think and feel and all of that kind of thing, one of my tips is go out and ask the people you either are working with or you want to work with, and they are really receptive to do it. And it's amazing the value you get. Like even doing the book, I obviously wanted to interview small business owners.
Yeah.
People are so willing to give you that information, and they also love having the opportunity to share their story but also get your feedback. And it's such a fulfilling experience at the end. You sit there going, why the hell did I fight this for so long? Yeah. It's insane. But it's an amazing thing to do. And people like to help. Like particularly if you're in something like One Roof or She Mentors or all of those sorts of things, put out a little note. Like I ask for beta readers. I'm asking people to read an entire business book. I thought I'd be lucky to get two. Dozens came out of the woodwork.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, and I couldn't take them all because I couldn't deal with that amount of feedback. I mean, they just would have melted. But, you know, I took a dozen of them and they took the time to go through and do that for me with nothing coming out of it for them. I mean, obviously, I will give them nice stuff, but it's that's just because I'm so grateful. But, you know, just putting it out there and all of a sudden there's this amazing community of people who are so willing to help.
Yeah.
So it's but that's been a big learning for me because I'd gotten out of that whole headspace and now it's like, this is amazing. And now I'm looking for ways to help. And
well, like touching on that, like you mentioned, you know, you ask yourself, why would anyone want to read this? I'm probably going to get two people or whatever. How have you grown personally in the way you share your wisdom?
Okay, this is strange. I did write the entire book, okay? And I thought, and the book I started writing is not the book I've ended up writing.
Right.
So I started doing just a marketing, like how to set up your marketing for small business owners. And then during the course of either book interviews or clients I'm working with, realized that we needed to take it further back to that messaging piece to work out exactly what they visualize for successful their business structure, what it looks like when they've found their success, that kind of stuff, because that dictates all of the rest of it.
True.
So it's now two books and the other one will be next year's problem. But so I actually have that whole process has evolved. So even when I'm talking about marketing, because when you're an expert in a field, you know it so well that you expect everyone around you to be at exactly the same part of the journey, and no one is. And that's the reality. It's like, you know, me setting up my accounting system, I'm asking how to set up a chart of accounts, whereas I'm sure a bookkeeper's sitting there going, "You're an idiot." Anyway, but the thing is, what you don't know. So I think, but the process has been great. So in terms of clarifying the messaging or clarifying the process, I've adjusted the framework slightly because of where people were getting stuck, that kind of thing. Mm. And it's been road tested now. So that's fabulous. But it also means that I'm having different conversations that I was expecting to have. So the conversation you have with a coaching client, completely different to a consulting client. A consulting client comes to you with a problem to solve, go and do it. And a coaching client might want to know how to do it or why to do it and all of that kind of stuff. And I used to omit the why a lot of the time. So if I was dealing with a marketing team, even marketing juniors, they have studied marketing usually.
Yeah.
So they knew sort of the theory in my head.
Yeah.
Small business owners, unless you're in marketing, you don't have that theory in your head. Why would you?
Yeah.
So it's sort of, I probably frame it around the why as well as the how now, as opposed to just sit there and go, okay, now we're going to do this. And I think working out what's important to people, what's driving them, that's the really fun part. It's sort of you see their vision of what they want to achieve and you can help them get there, and that's just brilliant. It's so much fun.
When the fog clears and you can just sort of see the road ahead. Like,
and that's the whole thing. So, you know, you need the clarity piece, then you know you need to know what to focus on. And, you know, once you've got that, you're confident. You go out there and you kick ass. It's fabulous.
Yeah. So, it is nice when you see that spark in their eye all of a sudden. It's like, aha, I get what's going on.
Yes.
What advice would you give anyone who's looking to start, you know, online, a business, a wisdom business online? What advice would you give them?
Basically, I'd get really, really clear on what you want to achieve out of it, and then who the market is that you're serving. And regardless of if you think your product is great for everybody, it's not. You can't be everything to everybody. So I know you're going to fight me, but you need a niche. And know your ideal client. Make them real to you. Understand what drives them. Know what problems you're solving for them, know what keeps them up at night, all of that kind of stuff. And a lot of that you're only going to get from talking to people. Then get absolutely crystal clear around your messages and your offers. You're going out there and making a promise to people that you can help them. So be comfortable that you can live up to that expectation. And then also just have some clarity around your pathway. Like, for a digital marketer, for instance, you could have a suite of 30,000 products, but there's got to be one entry point.
Yeah.
So get known for one thing and you can expand out later if you want to, or use that one thing as a pathway to your next product and your next product, your next product. Be strategic about it.
Yeah.
But in all things with marketing, you need a plan. You need to know where you are now. You need to know where you want to go, and you need to know how to get there.
Yeah.
So
good answer.
Those sorts of things. I think just for me, it's clarity. And once you've got the clarity, then you focus, then you get it done. So. Yeah.
No, that's such a good answer. And it's all about, like we said, planning. It's, you know, plan, ask questions, research, do the homework. And I think, you know, some of us get so excited with what we want to do and what we want to achieve. It's like we just want to just dive straight in there.
Absolutely.
And it is a form of diving straight in there. That's the one thing that I think some of us do forget, don't we? It's like, you know, that whole process of research, that's actually diving in there. It's like sharing an idea with someone. What do you think? Do you think this is a... And when you see them excited about it, it makes you even more excited. So, you know, building that foundation of the knows, the wants, the whys, and all that sort of stuff.
Absolutely. No, it's critical.
So important. I'd love to ask you, you know, what legacy are you looking to leave with what you're offering people?
I think it's what gets me excited to get out of bed in the day, you know, every morning. And I'm not a morning person, by the way, so that's a struggle every single day. Unless I'm going into it gently. I want... Basically, the idea now is if I can say that I've helped other businesswomen get their business to where they want it to go through some really good marketing, that would be an amazing legacy to have. So in terms of scale and everything like that, you know, the sky's the limit. But at the end of the day, there is good marketing, there is bad marketing, there is marketing used for evil, there is pushy marketing, there is spazzy, splashy, uncomfortable, make me cringe marketing. Mm. I don't think you need to be that. I don't think anyone needs to do that. I think if you have a conversation, a genuine conversation that is between you and your ideal client, and that's the basis of your marketing, and you know exactly what problems you're solving for them and how you can help them, I think that's a really solid basis for marketing. And I think that's a really solid basis upon which to build your business. And if you can do that and stay true to it and be genuine about it. And the thing is, I've got a process now, you know, that is in the book and will be in the course that can lead you through the steps you need to take. So it's not, it doesn't have to be complicated. Marketing doesn't have to be horrible. Marketing can actually be something you do enjoy as part of your day because it's part of how you do help.
Yeah, it's the conversations you have, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it's all of them. It's just knowing the consistency and the message and knowing what you want to talk about and knowing, having it clear in your head how you can help. And most women I know are in business to help somebody. And if you look at it from that point of view, then you're never out there doing a hard sell. And if you don't like talking about pricing, well, put the prices on your website. And then let them buy from there, and you never have to have the pricing conversation. I told that to somebody yesterday. She's like, oh, my God, that would be brilliant. I didn't want to put them out there. I'm like, but you put them out there. You don't have to talk about them if you don't want to. I think for me it's like there are all these marketing tools available. There are all these marketing options available, but get your basics right first.
Yeah,
get those right. Get that all in place, and then you can go and play it at your heart's content. I mean, I love shiny things. So I go, something new comes up on my feed and it's like, oh, that's a new marketing tool. I could go play with that. And then I'm like, oh, crap, hold on. Let me just build my website first because that's where everything is.
That's what I was doing.
Damn it.
Minutes ago.
That's it. So
on this rabbit
shiny
hole.
Shiny syndrome, it's just not, I mean, I'm susceptible to it, which is why I try to help people get over it.
Yeah. And that would lead me to one of the questions that I have for you. What are the major challenges? What's one of the major challenges maybe that you've come across in building this up, this business that you've got?
I think a lot of it is when you're finding your feet, it is that chaos that does ensue. So obviously small business owners, you're always time poor, or you're always resource poor, or there is just so much to do, particularly if you're doing it on your own. So it's literally that prioritization process. I haven't quite solved it all completely yet. I had a conversation with somebody this morning when we were doing some virtual online working together. Yeah. And she's like, well, what's most important right now? I'm like, I have a post due in an hour and I have an interview in 2 hours. So those are my priorities today. That's not the best way of planning, but that was where I was today. But normally if I've got, I just say, make sure you do lock in your admin time. Make sure you do give yourself time to do the things you know you need to do. So even if it's you're giving it to a VA to do, you still need to manage that person, right?
Yes.
So, and I just say, for me, it works best if I just block out the hour or two in the morning and then go and do appointments and all of that kind of stuff. But I think without that discipline, I would be all over the shop. Setting up ClickUp at the moment just because I wanted more automations. Like I know marketing automation's inside out, but I realized that one – because I was on my own, I'm like, I don't need a project management tool. That'll be fine. I'm like, but I do need a CRM and I do need this and I do need that. Okay, shit, I may as well set that one up too. And then I went down that rabbit hole for a day. So but that's the setup phase, isn't it? So my theory is once it's set up and it's going, it should save me time. In the meantime, I'll just stress about adding it to my to-do list.
It is, isn't it? It's one of those things when you're setting up a business or you're looking to expand or whatever. It's not just, you know, researching your market. It's researching how the hell you're going to set up your business. Like all these things just to, you know, streamline this process and streamline that function. It's just a nightmare. But anyway.
And what tool to pick? The number of people that say, what email program I should use? And I'm like, well, it depends. What do you want to use it for?
Yeah.
And what's your website platform? And what are you using over here? And how do they all integrate? And then that's a whole can of worms. So
I get it. Trust me.
Exactly. Yeah. So integration. there. Key.
Yeah. I'll tick that. I'll put that on.
I'm sure you've got it under control.
I've got to ask you one last question. What offer do you have for our audience that you'd love to share today?
So we keep talking about the plan. So I've put together basically a marketing roadmap product that basically I do an audit, talk to you about what your goals are, do a gap analysis and give you a priority 12-week roadmap for that. So the offer for your listeners is a 20% discount off that. So there is a code that I have to write.
Don't worry about that.
It's the name of your podcast. So there you go. It's Wise Dome. So I think that's a really good starting point for anybody trying to take control of their marketing. So I think – and it's a useful tool and hopefully it will be of benefit. So, yes.
Oh, thank you so much for your time today, Rachel. You've been absolutely amazing to talk to and offered so much advice.
Thank you.
I really, really appreciate it. And look, and I think our listeners, you know, no matter what business really, whether it's a knowledge business product, whatever it is, when it comes down to marketing, there's, you know, there is a formula and it does come down to planning and just having the conversations, isn't it? So, you know, thank you so much for the conversation we've had today and the time you've given us. And the details of Rachel's offer will be in our podcast summary below. Be sure to click on the link and don't forget to subscribe. Thank you so much again for your time, Rachel.
Thank you. It was lovely to be here and have a good chat.
Thanks for listening to the Wise Dome podcast. If you enjoyed and have been inspired by this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, do subscribe and please share it with others. Post about us on social media or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, Nikki Kelly, you can follow me on Instagram at Wise Dome Podcast, WISEDOME Podcast. I'm Nikki Kelly. Thanks again, and we'll catch up next time.